Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Verses 4 through 25. In the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no vegetation of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, where he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out to Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. And the name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. And for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one is taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
This Sunday is the first of a six-part series called Faces of Our Faith. And as the much-beloved Sound of Music song goes, we'll start at the very beginning, which, according to the song, is a very good place to start. I knew you knew it. At least it seemed like a very good place to start when I first thought about this sermon series. The account of creation, including the creation of Adam and Eve, is at the very beginning of the Bible. It fills the first chapters of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And we don't just get one account of creation in the book of Genesis. We actually get two, which is a surprise to many. The first account covers all of creation over a period of 7 days, and the second account focuses more specifically on the creation of humanity, the creation of Adam and Eve and their place in the Garden of Eden. The reading Joan shared just now is the second creation account in Genesis, thought to be the older of the two. And while it is at the beginning of the Bible, a supposedly very good place to start, it is also a text I was reminded this week that has been embroiled in religious, political, and social controversy, making it perhaps a somewhat questionable place to start our sermon series after all. For example, the story of the creation of Adam and Eve is at the heart of the debate over creation versus evolution. There are those who believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God and that every word of the Bible is therefore literally true. There are others, United Methodists among them, who believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, human beings recorded scripture, which includes different genres of writing, including historical accounts, but poetry, prophecy, parables, and more, literary forms that were never meant to be read literally. So while all of Scripture is inspired by God, it need not, it should not really be read literally. Literal readers of the Bible have clung to these creation accounts from Genesis, arguing for creationism, the notion that in 7 days God created the world and everything in it, directly countering evolutionary science. I could go on, but that just gives you a sense of some of the theological controversy around this account of the creation of Adam and Eve. Many of us are well acquainted with the fact that this account has also been used to promote misogynist and homophobic agendas. The fact that Adam was created first and Eve second out of the rib of Adam has been used to argue for the subservience of women. And I know some of you remember when fundamentalist leader Jerry Falwell popularized the anti-gay slogan, "God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve," several decades ago. In the wake of the recent Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, I'm also reminded that this is a key passage that informs the Jewish belief that life begins with the first breath. Verse 7 says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So all in all, this is a complex passage. It could lead us down many different paths and into all sorts of challenging and potentially heated conversations. And while I hope we do make time and space for those conversations, they're very important ones, I want to focus today on the fact that while this account from Genesis connects with all of those issues, it is essentially not an account about those issues. To state it simply, it is instead an account about beginnings. It's an account that connects us to our human story, one that helps us to understand who we are, where we came from, what we're here for. It's an account about our understanding of ourselves and God's intention for us. And what it indicates above and beyond all things is that we belong to one another. We are a part of one another. God saw Adam's loneliness and his need for something, someone. The translation we use says Adam needed a helper, but my understanding is that the original Hebrew word implies something deeper, more complex, something more akin to a companion. Adam needed a companion. And when God created Eve, Adam responded with joy. He didn't hesitate. He didn't make himself superior. He didn't put Eve in second place. He didn't get resentful or jealous or competitive or point out their differences. No, Adam celebrated their connection, their oneness, saying, "Finally, at last, You are bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. We belong to one another. We are a part of one another. One commentator went so far as to say that this passage reminds us that community is necessary for this creature to be human. That's a compelling idea, that we're not fully human until we're in community. And we all know that being in community, belonging to one another, can be wonderful, amazing, remarkable. And we also know that it can push our every button and be a giant pain in the patootie, if you don't mind me saying. Just as that's true for all communities, it's oh so true for faith communities as well. When I was working in hospice, I often had people report to me that they were spiritual, not religious, and that their church or temple was the mountains or the beach or their backyard. And I get it. I understand that. With my chaplain ears, I heard them saying that organized religion had offended or hurt or disappointed them somewhere along the way, as it has for many of us, and that it was easier for them to find peace and renewal in the beauty and solitude of creation. And there's a big part of me that would just nod in agreement. I know, my spirit would say silently. There's a quote that's been attributed to Gandhi that says, "I'd be a Christian if it weren't for all the Christians." And whether Gandhi said that or not, there's truth in it. It's a whole lot easier to feel well connected to the divine when there aren't a lot of quirky, wounded, struggling, hurting, hoping people around to get in the way and muck things up. But I'm drawn back to that statement about community being necessary in order for us to be human. And I can't help but nod wholeheartedly in agreement with that too. We are created to be in relationship with each other. From the beginning, we have belonged profoundly to one another. And as people of faith, we need community. We absolutely need community, even though it can challenge us to our core at times. Because it's in community where we're able to laugh with one another, cry with one another, celebrate with one another, grieve with one another. It's in community where we learn from one another, inspire one another, challenge one another. It's in community where we keep one another grounded in reality, in our purpose, in divine love. It's in community where our faith can grow and expand as we learn more and more about God and what it means in good times and in bad to be the people of God. Some of you might remember that last time I preached on the creation story in Genesis, I shared with you a children's book called Big Mama Makes the World. It's a great book. Well, I came across another children's book as I was preparing for today, Adam and Eve's First Sunset, written by Rabbi Sandy Eisenberg Sasso. Now, we think of sunsets as a wonderful gift, something we get to delight in on a regular basis. They're a treat to us. But in the book, we're reminded that when Adam and Eve experienced a first sunset, it must have been terrifying. The book begins like this. I'm only going to share a couple pages with you. The sun was sinking beneath the clouds, falling behind the mountains, going down below the eagle's nest. The sky became darker, the air colder. Perhaps the sun is tired, thought Adam. You may rest on my shoulders, he told the sun. Perhaps the sun is just sad, thought Eve. I will sing you a song, she said to the sun. But as Adam and Eve realized that they could not prevent the sun from leaving, they became frightened, blaming each other for the sun's departure. They lamented the darkness and what it would mean for the survival of the plants and the animals. They felt as if the world was ending. In the dark of night, they discovered how to make fire. The book says, it brought light to the midnight sky, but it didn't bring back the sun. The earth became cold and dark. I can't take care of it, admitted Adam. I can't fix it, sighed Eve. But dawn finally arrived. Adam and Eve rubbed the sleep from their eyes. The setting sun was not the end of the world. It was only the coming of the night. They could brighten the night by making fire, by staying together. And now it was the beginning of a new day. The book concludes saying that Adam and Eve blessed the new day each morning, and each evening they blessed the night too. It's in community where our faith grows as we learn together about God and what it means in good times and in the most frightening and difficult of times to be the people of God, to stay together as people who belong to one another. So in our Faces of Our Faith series, Adam and Eve remind us that we belong to one another. All of us in this human family, we come from the same God and we are kin, of the same flesh, of the same bone. We human beings are a part of each other. Community is essential to our faith and to our lives. Throughout this six-week series, we'll drop into the stories of different biblical ancestors, some familiar to us and others who may be brand new to you. And as we draw near to their stories, learning something essential from each one, my hope is that we will recall the memories of other faces of faith who have been a part of our lives. Perhaps parents, partners, children, siblings, grandparents, aunts, or uncles, pastors, camp counselors, teachers, coaches. It could be anyone, known personally or not, young or old, living or dead, anyone who has helped you to see yourself and others through the loving eyes of God. Anyone who has extended you or another a hand of mercy in a time of need. Anyone who has inspired you to live with more kindness and integrity. Anyone who has modeled a tenacious faith in the midst of adversity. Anyone who has companioned you, who has taught you how to make fire in the night, to persist through the darkness until the coming of dawn. And as those folks come to mind or heart over these next weeks, I invite you to welcome their presence and to share images of their faces as we create a Faces of Our Faith collage. You can bring pictures to share on the board that's out in the courtyard, or create a picture using the paper and the colored pencils that are in the back of the sanctuary. They will be right by Ken each Sunday. You can pick up a paper and pencils and sketch and draw some pictures and put them on the board as well. And each week as our collage grows and expands, we'll remember and celebrate the people, past and present, who have made an impact on our lives of faith. Bone of our bones, flesh of our flesh, all of the people with whom we belong. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this day, for this time of worship, for the folks sitting to our left and to our right, for all those who companion us in body and in spirit on this life's journey. We thank you for moments of beauty and solitude in which we encounter a unique and life-giving aspect of you. We also thank you for ways that you meet us in and through the delightful messiness of other human beings and through our human communities. Remind us of our oneness in you and the ways in which we so profoundly belong to one another. Help us to move past that which divides us, to release animosity and rancor, and enable us more and more to see one another, even in our brokenness, as siblings. Help us more and more to be for one another kind and faithful companions on this remarkable journey. God, we lift up our hands and eyes and voices once again this week, crying out to you in our disbelief at the violence that is being unleashed by and among your children. How you must grieve what we do to one another. Help us to find our way, your way, through the shadows of this time. Help us to find even just the next step and the courage to take it. As people of faith, remind us that we belong to and with Catherine Goldstein, Irina McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy, their 2-year-old son, Aiden, who survived the Highland Park parade attack while his parents did not. We belong to and with Jacqueline Sundheim, Stephen Strauss, Nicholas Toledo Zaragoza. We belong to and with Shinzo Abe. And help us to remember to keep in mind and heart, as difficult as it is, that we belong to and with Robert Cremo and Tetsuya Yamagami and so many others who seem to have so profoundly lost their way. Remind us that we are a part of this human family, in this together, and that we belong to one another. Lead us, we pray, down paths of peace, justice, righteousness, for your sake, for the sake of your beloved world. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.